This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, and Joseph Umar, executive director of Secure Free Society. Peru. Peru was badly damaged by the pandemic, more so than any other state, I believe. People fled the big cities because they had to earn their living. They couldn't stay inside. Remote was never a practical solution for people in Peru. The damage was profound. And then an election and a newcomer named Castillo is elected, representing the people, populism. He was a teacher. And he arrived in office with a fresh slate, advised by, yes, some strong, cynical voices from the left. But Castillo could start all over again. It was a puzzle to me. The first thing he did was live in the palace when he'd promised that he wouldn't live in the palace. But I understand things are practical. You don't have to build a new house. Now, however, many months on, the cabinet changes are blinding because he does not seem to be able to retain a cabinet. There was a colorful anecdote from some months ago about a bag or a sack of cash being found in a men's room. This is not a sophisticated operation. Castillo gives the impression of pretty much spontaneity when he comes to appointing a cabinet official. However, Joseph tells me a recent resignation could be illustrative of the deeper problems in Peru. And those deeper problems are bad actors from the outside. Joseph, I was struck by the sudden resignation of a man who'd just been appointed, I think, either environment or agriculture or some important internal post in Peru. It might have been foreign ministry, but he resigned within days. And you tell me that something in that resignation suggests that there are problems we've not talked about. Explain, Joseph.
Yeah, so last week, the new foreign minister, Miguel Rodriguez, resigned after being in office for less than a month. And he was brought to that position first. You know, a Peruvian minister resigning is no longer news inside Peru because it happens pretty much every week. But nonetheless, what was really interesting about this case was he resigned because one of the things that he did was say that Peru is not going to recognize the Sahrawi Democratic Arab Republic in the Western Sahara because it isn't consistent with Peru's longstanding foreign policy, and they just had some conversations with Morocco. Now, we all know that the tension that happens in West Africa. But that's not something that covers major headlines. It's more just a diplomatic move. But immediately the president, President Castillo, went to Twitter and said, no, we will continue to recognize the Sahrawi people. He called it their self-determination and contradicted the foreign minister very publicly. I don't know if he talked to him beforehand privately, but he did so in a very public manner. And this created a lot of embarrassment and I think also a lot of resentment from the foreign minister, which led to his resignation. But this was interesting to me because if you go back to when President Castillo was first elected last year, one of the first moves he made, and it might have even been his first day in office, was to recognize the Sahrawi Republic in Western Sahara. And he did it to a lot of curiosity of the spectators and the diplomats in Peru who actually told me about this because it didn't stand. It wasn't consistent with Peru's foreign policy. And if you remember, at that time, the then foreign minister of Peru was being advised by a Yemeni national that still to this day hasn't been explained as to why he doing such high-level advising to the government. And what we know, and this is kind of a well-known secret among intelligence circles and security circles in Latin America, is that the Polisario Front is a major facilitator between Latin American drug cartels, namely the FARC, and international terrorist organizations, namely Hezbollah, which is why Algeria comes into play with Nicolas Maduro's trips to Tehran, because Algeria being the most prominent supporter of the Polisario in Africa. So it becomes an international maze of mystery, but really it shows you where the allegiances of President Castillo lie if he's going to turn against his new foreign minister that he appointed just to adhere to a decision that he made that appears to be more important than what Peruvians understand.
I have to unpack this, Joseph, because we need a scorecard to keep up with this. All right. So Peru, Lima, Peru, has good relations with the Polisario in West Africa. The Polisario are linked to both Hezbollah and the FARC. Is that correct?
Both.
The FARC is out of Colombia, yes?
Correct.
Right? So we're looking at The word transnational is inadequate here. We're looking at what you'd have to say is gangland behavior. Is that a fair generalization of what we're talking about?
Yes, and transregional.
Transregional gangland behavior. And Castillo, could he be ignorant of this matter?
No, I think his advisors told him that this is very important, because behind the scenes in Peru, you got to look at actors like the Maduro regime, like Evo Morales, like Iran, that people don't see on the surface, but they're very present in Peru. I can tell you that for many years investigating inside the country. Remember, I'm an expert witness to the most the only ongoing case against the Hezbollah terrorists inside Latin America, and that's in Peru.
So what we're looking at then is the Hezbollah, not only in Venezuela, the Hezbollah not only suggested as bad actors in Argentina, not only in the tri-border region and linked to that mysterious cargo plane that we still can't solve, but also in Peru, in Castillo's government, in the presidential palace. Now, Joseph, this is alarm bells. Are those alarm bells ringing in Washington and in other capitals in South America?
They are within the intelligence circles and security circles in the United States and many other countries in Latin America. I mean, John, last year we had a we participated in a counterterrorism conference in Colombia, which was a regional counterterrorism conference that had a lot of regional participants. And one of the most alarming presentations came from the Peruvian police, who gave a very detailed presentation about Hezbollah's presence in their country. And it goes all the way back to the 1980s. And at this point, it's reached very high levels. And at that point, President Castillo wasn't the president yet, but there was a concern that there was that connection.
Ernesto, I ask again, because you had such heavy official duties all over the continent. The Hezbollah, we know, are in the tri-border region. That's been well established. Did you have suspicion that the Hezbollah were looking to influence a new president in Lima when you were in office?
Well, not specifically Lima, but we saw with enormous concern the amount of influence that they were waving across the region. And as a foreign minister, I tried to make everything to foster coordination among the democratic countries in the region to see the real threat to democracy and to integration in South America, which is organized crime linked to terrorism. So before I was there, and before President Bolsonaro, this was not recognized as an issue. People just turned a blind eye to that. And left-wing governments, they like Algeria, and now I understand why they like Algeria so much and was so cold to Morocco, because of those sorts of connections. Right. So we realized those sorts of things. So one of the things that I did as well as a foreign minister was to get much closer to Morocco. Okay, good relations with Algeria, but we realized the sort of threat that that Joseph is talking about. Okay, we tried to change the mindset, but it's very difficult to change a mindset.
This requires a very big map, no longer adequate to cover the new world in the Western Hemisphere. You've got to include Hezbollah is in Lebanon. The Bolsonaro are in West Africa. We're talking about Eurasia and Latin America all under the threat. Joseph Umar, Ernesto Araújo, I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.